For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Joshua chapter 24, a very familiar portion of Scripture. If you've not gotten one of these magnets to put on your refrigerator someplace, maybe in your office cubicle, we have these back there somewhere in the foyer or up there somewhere in the foyer. It'll help you to remember our theme for the year, having done all to stand. And of course, today represents a day that reminds us to stand, doesn't it? It's the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And today is our son, Matt, his 40th birthday is today, January 22nd. And, you know, I've always thought that him being born on such a date kind of pokes a finger in the eye of the devil, you know, over the years. And thankful for one life that can make a difference and continues to make a difference. But you think about a generation of people that have died through abortion since 1972, 73. A generation. We have killed a generation of people in America. We've killed a generation of people. There may have been a cure to cancer among them. Probably there were some Grant Garbers among them, and some Seth Greenleys among them, some John Gossetts among them. There were some godly deacons among them. You think about there were some godly mothers, grandmothers that could have made a difference. There were some great nurses among them, some great doctors, some great teachers among them. Those that God had a purpose and a plan that man stepped in and said, well, we know better than God. And they're in heaven today. Amen. Amen. And I don't know what form, I don't know how we'll know them, but they're in heaven. And thank God for that. Today you have an insert there in your bulletin. This is the Pregnancy Crisis Center that April Hager volunteers at, and they're making a difference. They're making a difference. I've allowed them to have an insert today because they are making a difference. They're making a difference for the Lord. They're witnessing, winning souls to Christ. They're helping young mothers to be in a time. They're offering them positive biblical counsel in a time, one of the hardest times of their lives. And when they're just torn, they don't know which way to go. They're offering them sensible alternatives where the world just offers one alternative. And they're making a difference. And you say, how can I partner with them? You can pray for them. You can throw a baby shower. You can sponsor a baby shower. You can donate needed items. They have one of the cleanest, best supplied places I've ever seen as far as clothing, supplies for mothers and babies and all the accessories that go with having a baby, you know, cribs and all those things. They have all of those things, diapers, and you can have a diaper drive. You can volunteer your skills, maybe in some way. Obviously, you can donate financially. You can be a translator for them. You can volunteer your time. You can be a life coach. But I think they certainly need our prayers. I would encourage you to call April sometime. They're down on the west side of Charleston. They're directly across the street from what was, thank God, what was, past tense, the only abortion clinic still operating in West Virginia. Now they're not because that has gone back to the state. One of the new laws is that an abortion can only be performed in a hospital. And of course, many restrictions now and I'm thankful for that. And but they are still offering counsel and helping women to get abortions. You know, abortions are still available. It didn't ban abortion. Abortions are available in states that border us. And of course, the abortion pill, the federal government is funding, sending abortion pills to these clinics that which they can distribute and all of that. But they're right across the street from, I mean, they're right there in the thick of it. And but I would encourage you to go down and get a tour. Just go do a walkthrough one day. And I went down one day last year and had a tour, and I'd not been there. I'd been by there many times. And I accidentally got in the parking lot of the abortion clinic. And I'll tell you, it looked like the parking lot of a Walmart. I mean, people everywhere. And I drove through the back alley. People all over the place. And until I, you know, but nevertheless, pray for, and there are other centers and churches. There are churches, local churches, that are making a difference and offering counsel and offering adoption services and all of that. And I'm thankful for all of that. And that babies can come into this world, didn't have a great start, but they can have a great finish. And they can continue and have an opportunity to live their life. The right to life is given to us by God Almighty. Today I want to kind of preach around that theme today in Joshua chapter 24, and I want to begin reading in verse 13. These are the last words of Joshua, that great leader that followed a great leader named Moses. And Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13, he said, "And I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord," verse 14, "and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house," Joshua said, "we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Now, Heavenly Father, I ask you today to bless this message. And Lord, I'll not say anything that probably I would hope that 100% of the people here wouldn't agree with. And Lord, I'm not going to share any new information probably, but Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we stir up our minds and stir up to remembrance where we are as a nation, where we can be, where we once were, and where we're headed. Lord, I pray somehow that you'd bless America again. Give us revival, oh God. Help churches like ours to be revived. How we need revival. Oh, Lord, help us. And help us to become excited about the choice of truth again. And Lord, help us to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all and having withstood, help us to stand in this evil day that we live. And Lord, help us not to stick our heads in the sand or hide in the closet somewhere. Lord, we live in this land and on this dirt, and I pray, God, that we'll make a difference and make a circle around us and brighten the corner where we are, and help us to give the gospel where we are, and help this church to continue, after all these years, to continue to take our stand for the gospel, that glorious gospel, which would change lives and solve all of these problems. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I think of all that the Bible says about life. And, of course, today, thank God, for the United States Supreme Court. Thank God for their decision last year to reverse an unconstitutional law of Roe versus Wade, or whatever that decision was called. Here in Joshua chapter 24, we read Joshua's last words. It's interesting to always to read the last words of great men and women. It's always interesting to read the last words of those who failed in life, those who died rejecting God. I would encourage you to do that sometime. Don't do it while I'm preaching, but do it sometime. And here's Joshua's last words of the people that he loved. And he gives these words. He gathers in chapter 23, he gathers the people together. It says in chapter 23 and verse 1, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And it says he called," verse 2, "Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I'm old and stricken in age, and you've seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." And he said down in verse 6, chapter 23, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do, and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." It was the same message that God gave when Moses died, same message that Moses had given, Joshua gave. What a great leader Joshua became. He stepped in as a follower and came out as a leader. Fellowship always precedes leadership. If we don't know how to follow, we'll never learn how to lead. And here he gives the message to his leadership. The leaders understood what was at stake. They understood there was a passing of the baton. They understood that a great leader was passing on. They understood this was a crossroads now for the nation. And he goes from the leaders now to the people in chapter 24. And what the leaders had been told and what the leaders had bought into now, it's like a football team. A coach, he sells his game plan to his coaching staff, and then the coaching staff go and sell it to their players and deliver it to the players. And if they all buy in, maybe they'll win some games. And if we'll buy into God's leading and God's teaching here and God's principles here, then we'll win a great game called life. And so here in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua's speaking to them. And the Lord makes his case in verses 1 through 13. The Lord says, "Have I ever failed you?" And he hadn't. I think about what he says down here, though, in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. I don't know of any issue in our lifetime that's been more divisive than abortion. I don't know of any issue. And it should be black and white. It should be yay or nay. It should be amen or oh me. I mean, it should be. I mean, I don't vote for baby killers. I don't encourage you to vote for baby killers. I don't support baby killing, and I don't support baby killers. I don't support political parties that support in their platform baby killing. And so it's pretty easy for me. And it goes beyond just going to the voting booth, though. I mean, we're living life every day. And people make choices every day. Some good choices, some bad choices. But I want to give you a few thoughts today as we begin this message. First of all, I want you to notice this. How a nation treats its children. Think about this. How a nation treats its children and it's defenseless, and the elderly says much about the heart and soul of that nation. Right. How we treat our children, how we treat the unborn, and how we treat those that have been born says a lot about the heart and soul of a nation. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so we see as they gather here at Shechem or Shechem. Shechem was the place of promise. Shechem means shoulder. It was the place where God had met with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7. And God had given Abram God's covenant command and God's covenant with, he called it the Abrahamic covenant, we call it that, that he would bless his nation as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. He would bless his nation. And we understand that America is not God's chosen people, but God certainly has chosen our nation to bless our people. And how a nation treats its children. And they're meeting here at the place of promise. It was a place where Joseph would be buried. We see over in verse 32, and the bones of Joseph were carried there. We think about our nation. Our nation needs a shoulder to find, like Shechem, to find again the promises of God and find again the blessings of God. And when we, I don't say if we ban all abortions, we're going to have revival. But I'll tell you this, I believe that certainly would get God's attention. I think God would see that we're trying to go a direction. Our founding fathers weren't all believers. They weren't all independent fundamental Baptists. I wish they were. But they did believe the Bible, and they did believe there's a God in heaven, and they did believe in the precepts of the Bible, and they did believe in biblical principles from the Bible. And so how a nation treats its children says a lot about the heart and soul of that nation. Secondly, the devaluing of life affects every part of society. When we devalue life, when we say that life is not important in the womb, suddenly life doesn't become as important when grandma or grandpa gets to a certain age. The devaluing of life affects every part of society. I mean, it's no wonder that crime has increased in America. I wonder what other nations, I wonder what Muslim nations, I think I know what they think of America, that we're a Christian nation. This is what Christian nations do. That we train other nations to kill their babies. That we fund that kind of thing. I mean, we who are a civilized society, we say we respect, you know, people and all of that, and then we're supposed to be a civilized, educated society, an advanced civilization. And we're acting like the heathen who offered their children to a false god Moloch in the Old Testament. The devaluing of life affects every part of society. It affects everything. First of all, if you don't believe there's a God in heaven, it all comes back to a biblical foundation and a biblical worldview. If we believe that we came from a monkey and that we evolved from a monkey, then after a time, you know, you tell a lie long enough and loud enough and often enough to enough people, people begin to believe it, and suddenly it's declared as fact and it's not fact. You take an evolutionary view. If you take an evolutionary view of man, then it leads to all of these other things. It's all connected. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, "In the beginning, God." And that's where it all begins. In the beginning, God. Those four words can change your life. Can change a nation. But I wonder what other nations think of us who are killing babies by the millions or have been. Is that what a Christian nation does? No wonder they don't respect the God of the Bible. And so the devaluing of life affects every part of society. Number three, it also reflects a pride and a lack of fear of God. When we dethroned God in our public school system, and when we dethroned God in our nation and began to follow secular humanism and followed the path of Romans chapter 1, when the Bible says when we knew God, we worshiped Him not as God, but worshiped the creature more than the Creator. We went from uncleanness to vile affections to a reprobate mind. And America has not come to a crossroads. America has gone through and knocked down the blockades. We've knocked down the warning signs and we've gone left. Headlong toward hell. And America needs a revival of old-time religion. And old-time religion has never been popular. But America needs a revival of Jesus being preached and a revival of living for God like we've never had. It reflects a pride and a lack of fear of God. Number four, God is the giver and the creator of life. We have to understand that. God's the giver of life. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. I mean, in Genesis chapter 1, God's already speaking of creation. He's speaking of the Trinity. Let us make man. Let us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the pre-existent Son of God in Colossians 1, 16, 17, and 18. By Him all things consist, and by Him all things were made, and by Him all things consist and are held together. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. There's a difference between man and dogs and cats and the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. And over every creeping thing he's to have dominion and that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Man is a spiritual being. Animals are not. And so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male and female. And so that's you know, this transgender issue is not an issue. It's no issue. Same-sex marriage is no issue. There's no issue there. God very clearly who was the first proponent of marriage, God who created man and woman, God who brought the woman unto the man and God made them one and blessed them together. God defined what marriage is. Male and female created him, he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what the Bible says. And so God is the giver of life. God is the creator of life. And on this Sanctity of Life Sunday, we come back to Joshua chapter 24. And I'm sure when these words are written, they weren't thinking of abortion and Sanctity of Life Day. But I think there's certainly a principle here. There's a principle here. So look at Joshua chapter 24 and verses 1 through 13. First of all, God gives a challenge to Joshua and the people of God. A challenge. I think God's given us a challenge today. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel after he'd already, in chapter 23, he'd already spoken to the elders and the heads and the judges and the officers. And he'd already shared with them and cast his vision for the future and God's vision for the future. And he gathered all the tribes of Israel in chapter 24, verse 1, to Shechem, that place of decision, and called for the elders of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He said in verse 2, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. But Abraham became a friend of God. Abraham followed God. Abraham believed God, Romans chapter 4, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. And God says, I'm giving you a challenge. And he gave him a little history lesson in chapter 24 and verse 3. He says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. God said, I did that. He said in chapter 24 and verse 4, I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. He said in verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron. I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. God said, I brought you out. Just want to challenge you. God said, I just want to remind you why you're here and how you got here. By Him we live and move and have our being. Without Him, we're nothing. He said, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, verse 6. He said, verse 7, your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. God said, verse 8, I brought you into all the land of the Amorites. Brother John Smith preaches a message. He brought me out to bring me in. You can probably find that somewhere. I brought you out to bring you in. And he said in verse 10, but I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. He said in verse 11, he went over Jericho, over Jordan, came into Jericho, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, I delivered them into your hand. I did. God said, I did that. And verse 12, and I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. God said, I did that. And in verse 13, he said, I've given you a land for which you did not labor. I think of how I was blessed to be born in America in 1955. What a blessing it is to live in this land. I mean, the blessings that I have, I didn't work for them. I mean, I've worked all my life, but I had nothing to do with the freedoms that I enjoy today. My forefathers did that. My 98-year-old dad, who fought in World War II and was 3.5 years in North Africa and Italy, he did that. And his fathers and their fathers did that. They did that for us. We owe them. We don't just owe the veterans, but we owe the old saints of God. We owe the Jonathan Smith who pastored this church, started this church in 1866. He might be up in heaven saying amen right now. I don't know. We owe him that. I'm gleaning. I'm being blessed because of their vision. And I think you see all of that. Someday, it may not be too... Someday when you're driving and you just want to go to Charleston or Parkersburg and go to the mall and you're driving that electric car and it breaks down out there and there's no place to plug it in, you're going to say, yeah, that's what mom and dad gave me. I'm kidding right there. Maybe not. By the way, the government doesn't want you to travel more than 300 miles. They want to control you. Yeah, hang on to your gas stoves today. God help us. That a government doesn't think that we have sense enough how to light a pilot on a gas stove and know how to run the thing. God give us a day when you used to be able to put in an air filter, just take a screw off on the top of the motor and put an air filter in there and change the plugs without having to watch a YouTube video. We changed the oil and took it out and painted the side of the barn with it because it helped preserve the barn, or we put it on fence posts because that old used oil would help the fence post. And God help us. We actually went out in the driveway and the street, the lane by our house and dribbled that, oh my, we dribbled that oil on that gravel to keep the dust down. Help us. Oh, they're helping us. Yeah. You know, it always amazes me that oil comes out of the ground. It lives in the ground. Oil lives in the ground. But we're worried that if you go out there and pour it, you put it on a fence post, it's going to ruin the world. How about all these batteries and the lithium? Where are we going to store all that stuff? There'll probably be some new businesses in West Virginia. Yeah, they'll find some holes around here to bury him. No, we don't want all their batteries. I was doing really well before the government got involved in my life. I mean, look, I pay my taxes, you pay your taxes. I'm still trying to catch a fish with a coin in its mouth, but I haven't ever caught one. Until then, I'm going to continue to pay my tax. I do all of that. And this, I mean, the government said, you don't have sense enough to know how to sign up for a health plan. Well, by the time you read the medical, I mean, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, you know, I'm not really sure how I'm covered. I've got some kind of coverage. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying, we were better off. The faith of our fathers living still, and that faith, that faith that was in the hearts of our grandparents and our parents and the preachers of the past and the characters that was in our society, the character that was built into our society because of a biblical worldview, because of a work ethic, because of a Judeo-Christian ethic, those principles that were built in, that were born into. Now we're not born into everlasting life, but the principles of the Bible translated into common sense in everyday living. And he puts a challenge out there. He said, I want to remind you, you're living in a land that I gave you. I forget that Reagan quote. It was a great quote. Everybody's going to Google it. No, don't Google it now. But I'll give it to you tonight. But I'll tell you this. You know, I mean, you think about the biggest lie ever told when the government calls you and says, look, we want to make your life better and simpler. He gives a challenge there. But notice in verse 14, he gives a charge there. The charge is, in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He said, put away your gods. The gods of money. The gods of man. America needs to be less man followers and more God followers. The charge that we put away the gods of following a movement or getting behind some momentum of public opinion or a moment of temptation instead of the Master. He said, put away your gods and follow the Master. Young people, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. There's a simplicity in being saved, and there's a simplicity in serving. If we will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. You say, preachers, is it that simple? Yes, it is. A challenge. And then there's a charge. Put away the gods. Put away the gods. But here it is, verse 15, there's a choice to be made. The choice, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose who you will serve. You think you can do it better? All right. God gives you that free will. But God said, I just want to remind you, verses 1 through 13, what I've done for you. Just want to remind you. Don't forget what I've done. But if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. There's a choice to be made. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose who you will serve. But he said, it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made that decision today? Have you made that decision? You say, preacher, I'm a teenager. I'm a young adult. I'm just trying to get through this class this semester. Let me just say this. You need Jesus in college. You need Jesus in middle school. You need Jesus in high school. You need Jesus as a young adult. You need Jesus as a young professional. You need Jesus all through your life. Seek Him. Seek Him. Don't come up through a church like this all of your life and then go to college or, I mean, even a Bible college and decide, well, I don't need God. This is all foundation. We're laying foundation. We're laying a foundation so that when you do leave and the cord is cut, that you'll be able to lead your family one day to serve the Lord. What was good for Grandpa is good for you. It'll help you. Choose you this day, but it's your choice. It's your choice as far as heaven. It's your choice. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's your choice. It is a personal choice. Let me encourage you to make that choice. I don't know what age you are, where you are in life, but I'm telling you right now is a good day to begin a new life with God. Today's a good day to begin. It may be that your family, you might be the beginning of a righteous heritage in your family. Begin. Start. Start. There's a great responsibility in that. You say, we've had wickedness all through our life. Then start today. Get saved today. You say, well, we've had righteousness all through our life. That you're carrying a great burden today, a great responsibility. Continue that. Continue to serve God. He said, it's your choice. You want to serve the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, Joshua said, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I remember when I was praying outside of the walls of Jericho. I remember I had my head between my knees and I was praying, and I looked up and there was an angel of the Lord there with his sword drawn. And he said, I looked up and I asked him, who's on the Lord's side? Are you on our side? And he said, no, you're on my side, Joshua. His sword was drawn and his side was defined. The Lord's side. Joshua was probably, as he was praying, was looking at the impenetrable walls of Jericho and said, I'll never, without God's help, be able to overcome the walls of Jericho as they conquered the Canaan land. And Jesus showed up there as a Christophany in the Old Testament, sword drawn, side defined. His service was demanded. He said, all right, let me tell you, you just do it my way. He said, march around that city 6 times, don't you say a word. There wasn't a Baptist in that group, evidently. Said, don't shout, don't yell anything at them. That's what we'd want to do. We'd be marching around the wall, and they said something, we'd want to go throw something at them, fight with them. No, they just waited. They just waited on God, and seven times the seventh day. Anyway, and then he said, the walls will fall down flat. God gave them a great victory. I'm just saying, He gave them a choice. And God gave them a change. There was a change. Look in verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Did they mean it? I think they meant it. But they were pulled aside, of course, like we are. In verse 18, therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And look at what Joshua said under the inspiration of the Spirit in verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you can't serve the Lord. You cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. I think what he was saying was there, you cannot do it in your own strength. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said, verse 21, no. No, they said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Now, we have a choice today in America. We can say, we're doomed. We can say, I've never seen it this bad before. I mean, we can say any number of things that you hear every day at Walmart and around the water cooler. Do they still have water coolers? You can join in on that. And I've been right there with you. I mean, they say most preachers resign on Monday. Sometimes, I mean, we get around here and bemoan things, but we try to keep it positive. Well, thank God. Hey, so-and-so was here. Hey, thank God for Eartha that got baptized last Sunday and Mary that got baptized last Sunday. Thank God so-and-so was here. Thank God God's moving in their lives. I'm telling you, God is always at work. Now you choose. You choose today whom you will serve. I mean, is our God able? Sure he is. Hey, if he can save you out of a devil's burning lake of fire, then certainly God can keep you saved and God can bless you throughout your life. Why don't you just trust him? By the way, I'm preaching. Hey, amen, preacher. I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to need this somewhere this week. I'll need it probably about the time I step out on the parking lot today. Choose. Choose you this day. I mean, some of you are worried. You're worried about Joe Biden's documents in the boxes out there in the garage where he keeps his Corvette. Look, hey, they're not going to do anything about that. You know what? When I'm seeing all this, I think, surely there's enough wisdom among the conservative leadership in Congress not to spend the next 2, 3, 4 years chasing Hunter Biden's laptop. Yeah, he ought to be in prison. They all should be in prison. They all should be. And we ought to be in hell, brother. And while they wrangle around and have committee meetings and have statements and just do something. Man, do something. Pass something. And not another $1.7 trillion. God help us, whatever it is, bill. Man, do something. Do something. I mean, we can worry about all that. You know what? I don't have any influence there other than maybe, you know, to call a congressman, call Carol Miller, call Alex Mooney, call Joe Manchin, call Shelley, send a couple letters. We can sit around and we can, I mean, look that'll discourage you. And I'm as upset about it as you are, but man, we can just sit around and say, man, our nation's done. But we're not done. I think God in heaven still wants to send a revival to our country. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe we'd get really stirred up and begin to let our light shine and let our tongue tell about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and get some people saved. We get enough people saved, we'll change America. I know it's pretty simplistic. But I don't have much hope. I don't have much hope in the political realm. Now, I'm voting against the baby killers, and I'm voting pro-life because I figure if somebody's for killing babies, they're probably they're crooked all the way across the board. And by the way, we've got enough rhinos in the state legislature now. When you go down there to the office, make sure you ask them, what kind of Republican are you? Say amen right there. It's pretty popular right now to get voted in as a Republican, but they may not have a conservative heart. Just throw that. That won't cost you one thing. Just throw that out there. But I'm glad for conservative. We need revival in our nation. And he said this, there's a change that can come. But he said, if you forsake the Lord, you're going to have his curse instead of his blessing. He said in verse 22, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. They said, all right, write it down. Write it down. We're a witness today. We're not going to back up. We're not backing up. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, verse 25, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And in verse 27, they set up a stone. And that stone, he said, will be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. He said, you can't do it in your own strength. Write it down, make a decision, set up reminders, set up stones, not to worship, but to witness the decisions you've made. You know, God's plan is for you and I to be the light of the world. We're to go out there and we're to shine light in this darkness. We're to be seed sowers everywhere. We're to make a difference in people's lives. We're to tell people about Jesus, the life-changing gospel. We have a choice to be made. We have a choice to be made. Make your choice today. Make your choice. I was talking to a financial guy the other day, and it wasn't Justin. Justin's more positive than this. He said, it's going to be a bad year. He said, you better buckle in. It's going to be bad. Well, amen. That's why I was out there trying to shoot those little squirrels the other day. I was trying to put some food in the freezer. Hey, if it gets bad, God's still on the throne. It may be that God wants it to get bad, that we might have revival in our nation. Now, if you just want some comic relief, watch a Joe Biden speech. If you want your heart lightened up, since I've made about half of you mad, I'm going to make the other half mad. Maybe that'll... And you and Kamala can laugh together. Kamala, what do you think about the border? Yeah. What's your policy as the vice president? We're all going to be depressed before I leave, aren't we? Last days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Remember, men will be lovers of their own selves, more than lovers of God. Set up a stone today. Make a decision. Make a decision. Just say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to just serve God. Raise my family for God. I'm going to tell other people about Jesus, how to go to heaven. I'm going to pray for revival. I'm going to trust God with the rest. Hey, you could take verses 1 through 13 and put right, just like a layover, if they still did transparencies. You could do a layover right there over America the last 200 some years. You could say, God's been good to us. God's been good. God bless America. God bless America. Decide today. Decide. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Choose you this day whom you will, sir. If the atheist want to be atheist, I don't agree with you. I hope you'll let me tell you how to go to heaven, how you can have life in Christ, and have hope. But if you don't believe in God, then don't spend your life trying to keep me from believing in God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whom you will serve. I'm going with God. Why don't you go with me? Why don't you go with me? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Churches are going left of center every day. Churches are closing every day. Let's keep the home fires burning.